This is the Harry Minute. Hello everyone, how's it going today? Welcome to another episode of the Harry Minute. Today we're going to be talking about albinism, and it's going to be very, very, very insightful. So I have my guest right here with me. His name is HK. Hi HK, how are you doing?
Hi Harry, thanks for having me on your podcast today.
No worries, it's cool. So can you just give a little bit of background to like who you are for like our audience? Just introduce yourself for a bit.
My name is HK, as you already know. I'm a lawyer professionally, even though I'm not practicing. I also work as a rep for sneaker care brand called Schweppe. So, and I'm also a volunteer for an albinism awareness NGO called Onome Akinlolu Foundation, or OAM for short. So what we do basically is create awareness regarding albinism, and we also help empower people who living with albinism.
When it comes to albinism advocacy, how's your experience been so far?
I would say my experience has been pretty good because I've been opportunity to work with a great number of people living with albinism. So far we've been able to, like the work I do with OAM, what we do basically is we create awareness regarding albinism. So most of our work is online. Most of our work, other times we do offline work. We go to schools. We go to schools to create awareness amongst kids about albinism and what it is. Then we also give scholarships to students who have albinism, and also link them up with job or career opportunities. So far it's been good. Like at least more and more people are getting to understand what albinism is. It's unlike what it was like growing up. Like literally nobody understood what it was. They just thought it was just something strange, something that was like, we were just looking at it like people with albinism were like freaks of nature and stuff. But with time now, things have really changed because more and more people are coming up and I'm beginning to like speak and be a voice for people with albinism, and every chance it gets, they try to spread the word.
You talked about growing up living with albinism. Can you share with us how that experience was for you?
Yeah, for me, growing up was pretty normal in a sense. Like my family never treated me any differently. Like being the last child in the house, I was always sort of pampered. So they never did anything to alienate me or like make me feel bad about me having albinism. Like my mom was literally like my mom's handbag. Like everywhere she went, she would always take me. She was never ashamed of leaving me, of always carrying me along. So then I didn't really notice it. It wasn't something that I had an idea of. All I just didn't know at the time was I was just a kid. I just wanted to do normal kid stuff. But at the back of my mind, I knew I was sort of different because I didn't look like the other kids in school, or I didn't look like anyone in my family. So I knew I was different. I remember there was one time I asked my mom if I was adopted because I didn't seem to look like anybody in the family. There was nobody else apart from me who had albinism. So I asked her, so she just gave me one funny look like, what was this boy saying? But growing up, as I began to go outside, I began to like interact with the outside world. It began to dawn on me my difference, my being a person with albinism, because as a lot of going out, I'd be usually called names. They'll call me Oyibo Pepe, Bonfrejo. Like they will usually always know how people can just be terrible. They were just sing songs. Like it got to a stage where I couldn't even go out. Like whenever I go out, I'll just have to think twice. Like, is this a good idea? Let me just stay at home. Like it was so bad that even I kind of like had like this let's say, dislike for people with albinism. I didn't want to associate myself. I didn't want to associate myself with them because I personally felt like a freak of nature, like that I'm not supposed to be here. I'm just too weird. I'm just too weird. But I guess over time, like with the love of my family, then having very close friends who love me despite my condition, I slowly but surely began to build up on my self confidence, and I think it changed when that was around 2016 when I was going through Instagram and I came across this NGO, Onome Akinlolu Foundation. The person that actually started it, she's a lady living with albinism. I think she got married a year before then. Her and her husband decided, okay, they should start something to create awareness surrounding albinism. Because then I think what kind of pushed her was her wedding to her husband. Like it was all over. It made like big headlines. It was even in Bella Niger. So people were getting a lot of comments. People were shocked that albinos can get married. So it kind of prompted her to like start up an NGO that will help create awareness and actually push the albinism advocacy to the forefront. So I met her at an event in 2016. So from there we clicked. Then we've been able to work on a few things. We created awareness online. We even worked with this photographer called Damien Ofua. So he's a documentary photographer. So he partnered with the NGO to create a documentary called Angels Among Men. So the documentary is just basically to put albinism in a positive light, like not to see albinos as people rather than object or rather than their conditions. So far it's the journey to self-awareness has been it's still a work in progress, but we're getting there.
At what point would you say you started to find your self-confidence? Did anything happen? Was that an experience that led you to start, you know, feeling confidence in yourself?
Meeting Onome actually really boosted my confidence because when I got to meet her, I got to know about her history. She was an only child with albinism, but her parents, especially her mom, they were strong advocates. So they never allowed her at any point in time to feel bad about being who she is. So and despite all the odds, she still fought against all the stigmatization, and she was able to do amazing things and even create this wonderful NGO, which I'm so lucky to be a part of. Like she's one of my a huge inspiration to me. She's even at a very young age, at her mid-20s, that was when she started an NGO. I think that was really something amazing. Like it spurred me on, if I can just be like this lady, like just bring out that self-confidence. I think that was what kind of brought out the self-confidence in me and made me decide to focus more on advocacy for people with albinism.
What are some of the things that you feel a lot of people, and I mean like the majority of people who don't live in albinism, what are some of the things you feel like, what are some of the attitudes that they do, things that they say that might come across as offensive? I don't know if I'm phrasing the question right, but I feel like a lot of times there are situations where there are people who, and it could be intentional, it could be unintentional, but people tend to goof when engaging with people you know, especially people who are different, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like there has to be some form of call out for people to start doing better and to start acting better, right?
Yes.
So I guess what I'm saying is, do you want to call out any form of behavior, practices, language that regular Nigerians use when it comes to engaging with people living with albinism?
So yes, I think there's a few behaviors I want to call out. Number one is the use of the word albino. Like, I feel like, for me personally, I feel like when you refer to someone as albino, I think you put the condition before the person. Like, the person just feels like, calling someone albino just feels like an object, or like, you know, when you have all these lab rats, like, you know, you don't put any sort of humanity to it. That's why whenever someone calls me albino, I kind of react, because I tell them, no, that I prefer being called a person with albinism, because I am human first before my condition. I'm human first. There's also this behavior, this thing where people always, when you walk on the road, people call you Oyibo Pepe Bonfrejo. That's not cool. Like, if you cannot address someone, maybe by, if you don't know who that person is, like, don't try to disrespect. It's just like when you see someone that is plus size, you call them fat or ace or you call them horrible. No, that's not cool. That's one of the things that usually gets me irritated. Like, sometimes, but these days, there are times whenever I hear that, I just kind of shatters my confidence. I just kind of like retreat into myself. But these days, whenever I hear it, I just laugh and walk away, because I know, like, it's not their fault. They don't really know better. So those are the things I want to call out. Like, don't address, just if you don't know what to call someone, don't say anything at all. Don't say, like the saying goes, like, if you don't have something good to say, do not say anything. And like, calling someone, using like hurtful or mean words to objectify someone isn't really nice. There's also this thing about this joke that goes around, like, albinos can see in the night and stuff, which sometimes I just like, heck, where did that even come from? Like, hell, I'm as blind as a bat at night. I can't see squat. So they feel like, I don't know, maybe albinos have this special thing in their eyes that helps them see at night. So I just feel like, no, we're not some freak of the night or something. Like, I feel that's one of the things I need to stop. Like, I think people should just try, I don't know. After all, there's no excuse. There's Google. If you don't understand something, you can always go on Google and check it up. I feel people should stop using hurtful words, because it's like words have the power to like kind of mess with people's psyche.
Yeah, and words have meanings in the end. So exactly. You know, if you're using those terms to refer to someone, you know, you have to set yourself and be like, why am I using these terms in the first place?
Exactly.
To what end?
Exactly.
You know, I want to understand a bit more about the discrimination that people living with albinism face in Nigeria. Can you share some of the ways through which, or it may not be discrimination per se, but maybe stereotyped, or how, you know, it comes to play, whether it's in work or interpersonal relationships? Would you mind sharing?
Yeah, sure. Like, I think in Nigeria, the situation regarding discrimination is basically like people with albinism are usually alienated in terms of maybe work. Maybe sometimes they feel like, okay, you're an albino, you're not smart enough, you can't do this thing. So most times they don't try to give you the benefit of the doubt and see what you're capable of. So most times immediately they write you off, or apart from in terms of making friends, like most people in Nigeria usually view people living with albinism as inferior. They don't really want to have anything to do with them. They see them as less than less than human. So most times they just rather avoid any form of contact, or in cases of people finding partners. Also, most people won't like to marry someone who has albinism, because you'll say, I don't want my child looking like Weibo, looking one kind. So it really messes with the person's psyche. Though, like
have you had any issues with making friends?
So far so good. I haven't had any issues. Like, as I'm lucky to have like people who like are actually very self-aware, and they don't really put my condition first before my personality. So most times I usually find it easy to make friends. But one thing I've noticed is like there's this remark I usually get out, that they look at you like, oh yeah, I like your skin, it's very nice. You're not like those others. Like, sometimes I'm like, what the heck does that even mean?
What does that mean?
I find it very patronizing, because just we have people who are like maybe more handsome or more beautiful than someone. That's the same way you have albinos. It doesn't make them any less human.
How about dating though?
The truth is, majority of people living in albinos actually find it very hard to date, because most people, you know, people will just they want their partners to be perfect. They want their partners to look a certain way. So whenever someone comes across a person living with albinism, they will most likely like turn away from them. Like they don't find them as like the ideal partner to date or to have a relationship with. And that really can mess with one's mental health. Like, it's always, you always find yourself asking questions like, am I not good enough? Like, you just, like, a lot of things run through your mind. Like, am I not good enough that something, you even try to blame God or the universe. Like, why did he make me like this? That of all the things that he had to give me, it's this. So it's generally a bit daunting actually finding someone who likes you irrespective of your condition. But that's not to say that the successful relationships don't exist. I know a few people living with albinism that are happily married and with kids. Like Aname is an example. Like, her husband is just an amazing guy. Like, because she said the first time he met her, like, I think it was love at first sight for him. Like, he didn't even care whether she was a person or albinism or whatever. All he just knew that day was like, this is the person I want to spend my life with. And as you have it now, she's happily married with two beautiful boys. So I feel like at the end of the tunnel, there's always light. Right now, I'm not really looking into the dating scene. So I'm just trying to find my space in the world. So like, dating is right now is not really the major thing on my mind. But that's not to say that I won't be open if the opportunity if love knocks on the door.
Okay. I want to ask this question, and this is our final question, but you can take your time to answer it.
Yeah.
The media constantly is dictating how people should look, how people should dress, how people should, what size you should be, what skin tone you should have, and many, many things, right? And, you know, we are saturated with these images of who we're supposed to conform to, based on what society says. Mm-hmm. I want you to just... reach out to someone. I mean, if there's someone out there who's living with albinism who feels a bit down, who feels like, you know, there's no space for them in the world, like you had mentioned. Do you have any words of encouragement for them? Yep. Something that can inspire them?
Yeah. So this is for that person living with albinism. Like, you should never ever look down on yourself. Like, you are beautiful. You're amazing. Like, don't try to fit into what society wants you to be. Like, create your own niche. Break the status quo. Dare to be different, because looking out there, there are people who have really made a name for themselves in the world. Like, take for example, like two models that I look up to, Sean Ross and DeAndre Forrest. Like, they're like people with albinism. They grew up being bullied and harassed because of their condition, but right now, like, when it comes to like the world of modeling, like, you can't mention modeling without mentioning these two powerhouses. Like, they've modeled, if you think of all the brands that they've modeled, they've been there. So I just want that person, don't feel like, no, that there's no space for you. There is. You are capable of so much. If you believe in yourself, don't put your condition before yourself. Like, learn to love and accept who you are. So that's basically my words of encouragement for someone out there who's currently living with albinism.
Thank you very much, AJK, for sharing your story with us. It's very insightful. And I feel like there's so much to learn, yeah, from our lived experiences. And you sharing yours is just so remarkable. Thank you again. We really, really appreciate. If anybody wants to reach out to you to ask you more questions, to discuss more with you, how can they reach you on social media?
Okay, my Facebook name is EJK Okeke, that's EJIKE, then OKEKE. Then my IG handle is E.J.K, then _ OKK. So, or if not, you can also reach out to OAM Foundation. So their IG handle is OAM_Foundation, or you could just type OAM Foundation on Facebook and you'll find them. And you can also send an inbox and reach out to them.
Okay, thank you so much. I am Harry Itke everywhere on social media. And if you want to comment on this episode, if you have thoughts to share, you can share that with the hashtag The Harry Minutes. Thank you again for listening. This is The Harry Minute. Bye for now.
Yay, we finished it.